1320 WILS.
And we're back. Michael Cohen with producer Emily Scarlett. Our email address, please send us an email. Let us know what you think. It's capitalcityrecap@gmail.com. Well, a big political year for the country and for Michigan in 2012, as a new congressional district map will be in effect and tens of millions of dollars will be spent on political ads. To talk about whether we're heading in the right direction when it comes to election financing, I'm joined by Rich Robinson, the executive director of the Michigan Campaign Finance Network, which is a nonpartisan, nonprofit coalition of organizations and individuals concerned about the influence of money in politics. Welcome to the program, Rich.
Thanks, Mike. Good to be with you.
Well, there is certainly good reason to be concerned. You're expecting, you wouldn't be surprised, apparently, by $100 million being spent in Michigan on elections in 2012. Which races do you expect most of the money to be spent on?
Well, it really all depends on how competitive these things are once we get closer to Election Day, because people don't spend money if they know they're going to win or if they know they're going to lose. But certainly the potential is there for an enormously expensive U.S. Senate race. Last time Debbie Stabenow ran in 2006, the whole race cost about $19 million. She raised $9 million. Mike Bouchard raised $6 million. And independent groups spent about $3 million. But the whole mix of how independent spending groups have weighed into campaigns has changed a great deal since she last ran in 2006. In the competitive races we had for the U.S. House in 2010, independent spending groups were about two-thirds of the money. The candidate committee's only about a third, and it's just a sea change in the way that federal campaigns, at least the competitive ones, are being funded.
I mean, is that necessarily problematic, though, that two-thirds of the spending is being done by these independent PACs?
It's not necessarily problematic, but here are a couple of the features of it. A lot of the money going into the super PACs that are the groups doing most of the spending come into those groups anonymously. They'll be contributed by a nonprofit corporation that doesn't have to disclose its donors. So you may know that the Committee for God and Country spent $10 million to elect a U.S. senator for you, but you don't know who the Committee for God and Country is. I don't know if that's unsettling to you. It is to me, because I don't think people give money for selfless reasons. I think the money's impact is not just on the outcome of the election, but driving the legislative agenda after Election Day. The other piece of it is it's not just that we don't know who's behind those super PACs, but it's the unlimited nature of contributions into those committees. So people are literally giving $1 million or more to these super PACs. So you might call it political speech. I call it property. And I think money has a profound effect on driving the outcome of an election.
So what would happen in your mind if the anonymity was taken away?
Well, I think some players would get out of the game if they didn't have anonymity. I think that there's an embarrassment factor, or when they come back looking for a certain new element of the tax code, or they want some contract, or whatever it is that they're looking for from the government, it's much more difficult to do that dance, to come out of it with the prize you're looking for, if your identity is known. At the very least, though, the citizen voter would have the chance to say, okay, I know who paid for your election campaign. Now I'm going to evaluate whether I think you're working for me or whether I think you're working for the financial patron who brought you to the big dance. And I think there's an element of accountability there that we're losing in the way campaigns are unfolding.
That makes sense. Rich Robinson, executive director of the Michigan Campaign Finance Network. When you look at this situation with the Detroit to Windsor Bridge, and I think the governor even pointed out that there was a campaign by the Maroon family against the project and so on. What do you think that tells us about money and state politics and how it affects the ultimate decision? Do you think in that case the financing of the campaign against the bridge was the reason that the project didn't move forward?
I think it was. Yeah, absolutely. In the 2010 election cycle, the Maroon family gave about $600,000 to various candidates for state offices. We don't know what they've given the current group of office holders because the office holders haven't filed a campaign finance report in over a year now, and their next report won't be filed until January 31st. But we do know that the Maroons have given money to PACs that in turn have bundled money, one, to Mike Kowal, who was the chairman of the Senate Economic Development Committee, where the bridge was considered in Senate committee. I think it made a difference there. And the campaign itself, the television advertising campaign was a $6 million campaign just in 2010, mm-hmm. and it wasn't answered at all. So it was an interesting dynamic to me, because if the business community really did support the new span, they were nowhere to be found in answering the Maroons campaign. And if it's a one-sided media campaign, the one side is generally going to come out ahead, favored by the public.
I mean, if you want to have a state politician change his position or become more agreeable towards you, how much money does that take? Could you do that with $5,000?
I don't really know, and I'm sure if you talk to any elected official, they would tell you the money doesn't make any difference at all. I leave it for your listeners to evaluate that. But in some cases, it's not a great deal of money that's exchanged. I mean, if you're a state representative in a relatively safe seat, you might only need to raise $50,000 to win office. If you're in a more competitive district, we've had state house races that got up to $1 million and more. So that's somebody who really needs to be cognizant of how much money they need. And, you know, there are certain committee chairs that are great seats to raise money from. If you're the chair of the House or Senate Energy and Technology Committee, it's a great place to raise money. If you're the chair of the Health Committee, great place to raise money. I'm sure that any elected official would say, I only listen to the argument presented by the lobbyist and the interest group and make my decision based on the interest of all my constituents. But I think that's a lot of baloney.
In terms of money spent on advertising and election commercials that involve the campaigns, don't you think that they're a bit less effective on local and state races where the candidates are maybe more familiar to the voters?
Well, that may be true, but those of us who live in the Lansing media market were hit with one of the most expensive U.S. House races anywhere last election cycle, the 7th District, where after Mark Schauer had defeated Tim Walberg in 2008, Tim Walberg came back and defeated Schauer. There was more independent spending in that race than any other U.S. House race in the country. The whole thing cost $14 million. And to put that in context, just 6 years before, in 2004, all the Michigan congressional candidates combined only raised $14 million. So there was more spent in that one U.S. House race this time around than there had been the whole ball of wax in 2004. Mm-hmm. So, how effective they are, what's the marginal benefit for that last commercial when you're buying $10 million worth of commercials, I don't really know how to evaluate it. But They're still spending, I'll say that.
One last question, about a minute left. Well, what about the idea that Americans, we are far too sophisticated and cynical to really buy into these campaign ads? We see right through them when they come up, and we know what they're trying to sell us on. What about that, most Americans are not really affected by most of these efforts?
That's an interesting proposition. I don't know where I come down on that, but I will say this. In following the money in Michigan election campaigns for a little over 10 years, my observation for Michigan state races is money wins about 95% of the time. So, and the campaigns still, even in the internet age, are spending about two-thirds of what they spend on television. So they must believe it's effective. And, of course, they spend most of that money on negative ads because it's easier to drive your opponents at negatives than it is to raise your own positives.
We didn't get a chance to talk about the new congressional district maps, which will obviously be a big factor this election year, but I do want to have you on to discuss that. Rich Robinson, the executive director of the Michigan Campaign Finance Network. Rich, thank you very much for joining me.
Good to be with you, Mike. Thanks.